Welcome to Lost and Found, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Westside. We're currently going through the book of Revelation with Pastor Dave. In today's study, Pastor Dave takes us through Revelation chapter 5, starting in verse 11, where we see that the ministry of angels is a constant subject throughout the Bible, and the book of Revelation is no exception. The angels in the end times are carrying out God's will, testifying of His sovereignty, and bearing witness of His grace with mankind. More on that now. Let's pick up with Pastor Dave in Revelation chapter 5, starting in verse 11, with a message entitled, Kiss the Son.
Another place that this word strength shows up, that blessed my heart, is in Mark's Gospel chapter 12, verse 30, when Jesus said, And you shall love the Lord your God with all your strength. This fulfills the first commandment, Jesus says. So it's like, Lord, you have the strength, you have the power, and you have the strength, but you're calling me to respond to this worthiness of praise by loving you with all my heart, my soul, my mind, and my strength, my total being. That's why I'm a little passionate when I worship. So I'm a little passionate when I preach. That's why I want to love the Lord with all my being. See, what God has been showing me this past week is for me, it's not enough just to be in His presence. It's I need His presence in me. It's not enough because what's going to happen is it's all just, if I'm just only in His presence and it doesn't get deeper than that, it's just knowledge. And if it's just knowledge, then it's not converting. If it's just knowledge, then it gets vain. If it's just knowledge, it's very religious and monotonous. If it's just knowledge, being in His presence, learning of Him, if it's just knowledge, but His presence being in me, me taking Him from my devotions with me taking Him from my home with me taking Him from my pulpit with me, like 24/7 Jesus residing in me and me acknowledging that and me honoring that, well, that's converting. Well, that's relationship. That's where I start to really kiss the Son, you understand? I want to love the Lord with all my strength. I don't want to be one of these apologetics, one of these pastors, teachers, evangelists that talked about Jesus so well, but that didn't know Him when it comes to the end of my life. It's sobering. I got to let this pierce me. I'm just being honest with you. You got to let this pierce you. Now, it's amazing here, and some scholars do this, they separate the first four from the last three, understanding here that these are things that He already possesses, power and strength and riches, et cetera, et cetera. And then the last three are our proper responding to His greatness. And I can see that. He already has honor and glory, and the rest here that we're going to cover, they're already His, whether we give them to Him or not. But this is our contribution, if you would. Like, we can join in on giving Him these things. Listen, if I say today, I'm not going to give Him the power. I'm not going to give Him the strength. It's not like He's like, geez, I was almost there. I almost had enough. He's got it no matter what. These are those that He's got no matter what, too. These honors and glories and blessings, etc., that close. But I can join in on that and contribute to it. I can give Him the glory, whatever glory as a fallen man I might want to take. I can give Him the honor that I know I'm not deserving of. I can give Him the blessing. You with me? So this is where we really get to kind of hop in here to the scene and say, Lord, I'm giving this to You now. Right? You are worthy, He says, to receive honor. Just simply, it's glistening, it's beauty, it's light. How about this? It's Shekinah. It's Shekinah. It's the highest esteem of public distinction that can be conferred. It's an eminence that excels all others. That's what this is here. It's an eminence that excels all others, Hebrews 2:9, one of my favorites. Hebrews 2:9 concerning the subject matter of honor. But we see Jesus, remember when we were there? But we see Jesus, speaking of the honor of Jesus, Acts 2:33, and 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 21, to go spend some time with. It's God's rightful possession. Honor is God's rightful possession. Divine and heavenly radiance. Listen, it's the loftiness and majesty of God and even the being of God, the mode of his being associated with him and his incarnation. That's what John said. And we beheld his glory. And there was this honor that was given because of his glory. These all sort of bleed over one another and blend and blur because they're all one of the same, essentially. But distinction is still to be made. The honor. Jesus is worthy of honor. He is worthy of honor. I mean, in the simplest way of just respecting him. Respecting what his word says. I've been telling you, I could break each one of these down for weeks. Just why should I do what the Bible says? Because Jesus said it and he is worthy of honor. That's how simplistic this can be, which is also incredibly difficult. Lord, help us to put feet to our faith, to walk it out. If we just let it go in our ears and into our heads, it's not converting. The law of the Lord has to drip down to our hearts and make converts out of us. Lord, you're worthy. I'm going to honor you. I'm going to honor you with my first fruits. I'm going to give to you. I'm going to give to you my tithe and an offering. That's what I do. Because I've just seen you, Lord, to be faithful to me financially, and I've never gone out. I've tested you on Malachi 3. I've seen if you won't open up the window of heaven and pour out blessings that are greater than my barnhouse can contain. And you just keep doing it. It doesn't make sense. The world would say that's like a car payment a week or whatever it would be or whatever you might say and however you might say this is crazy. I got kids. The times are uncertain. You can say whatever you want to say. I'm going to honor the Lord and do what the Lord says and just keep reaping the benefits. Raise my children in the truth. Turn the channel when it's inappropriate. Tell them they can't listen to that song. I'm just going to honor you, Lord, in just practical ways. I'm going to honor you with my body. I'm not going to have sex till I get married. I don't care if it's funny, you're a prude, it's ridiculous. I'm going to honor you because your word says one man, one woman, together forever in holy matrimony. It's all we got from Eden. And I'm going to take it and I'm going to honor it and honor you. Do you understand? This is in every facet of my life. I'm going to honor my wife because Christ told me to honor my wife. I don't know why he's got me going on this one, but I'm going to hit it for a second. I'm going to honor my wife because, Lord, I'm honoring you by honoring my wife because you said that I'm to love her the way Christ loves the church. So in loving her, I'm honoring you. It's worship to you. You're worthy, God. It's not just when I get to glory and all the distractions are gone. It's right now. I'm going to honor you with my being. I'm going to honor you with what I put into my body and what I don't put into my body. It's not rules and regulations. It's not thou shall and thou shall not. It's I love you. I'm not just in your presence anymore. Now your presence is in me. It's converting. I'm becoming obsessed with you. I'm seeking to turn toward you and kiss you and having my soul be occupied with God himself. I'm going to honor you. You're worthy to receive the glory. Emphasizing more the element of divine splendor is the glory that the Lamb receives. It's that luminous manifestation attending the presence of God so that to behold him is to see the very Shekinah of the majesty on high. That's what John says in his gospel, John 1, verse 14, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth, Jehovah wrapped in human flesh, Jesus. John 2, verse 11, John 17, one of my favorites, verse 22 and 24, where he's praying to the Father, his high priestly prayer. You got a whole chapter. You're discouraged this week. You forgot how much Jesus loves you. You're single on Valentine's Day. You're depressed. Go read John chapter 17. It'll be better than any Hallmark card. Go read John chapter 17. It'll be better than a box of chocolates and a glass of wine. Go read John chapter 17, the high priestly prayer of Jesus about you. You're in that prayer. And Father, I would, he says. Where do you got Jesus ever saying what he wants? It's always thy will, thy will, thy will. Jesus says in John 17, Father, I would that those that you have given to me would be with me and see me and experience me and you and us together in our glory. There's that prayer for us there in John 17. Peter speaks of this glory in his epistle, 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 16 through 18, when he recalls the transfiguration. He got to see Jesus transfigured, remember? And he got to experience and be glorified when he was with Elijah and Moses, talking of his crucifixion. The glory of Jesus. You're worthy to receive honor. You're worthy to receive glory. He's going to receive it. Peter uses it in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 11, when he says, to whom be praise and dominion forever. Like there's this, I'm going to praise you forever because you are so glorious. But there's that practical application real quick right now. Don't touch his glory. No fingerprints on the glory of God. It's his, and he will not share it with another. Blessing. We're moving a little faster than I wanted to, but because of time, let's continue here. The blessing. Lord, you are worthy to receive blessing. That praise which belongs to the Son by virtue of who he is and what he's done. Mark chapter 11, verses 9 through 10. Revelation chapter 15 is spectacular on this subject matter. Inherent in it is the awareness that everything on which mankind's redemption is the most personal is rightfully his. It's his. It all belongs to him. And thus it calls for grateful acknowledgement by all his subjects. A great verse to go to and check out with this word blessing is Romans chapter 15, verse 29. The fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Jesus Christ, Paul says. It's where we get our word eulogy from. Eulogian in the Greek, or praise. It's that quality of Christ evoking man's thankful response for benefits received. It's your breath. It's my breath. It's our breath in our lungs. Where do those breaths come from? Daniel tells us, Jesus, he feeds our breaths. So we pour out our praise. What do we pour our praise. Who are we pouring out our praise to? The one who our breaths come from. Here, Lord, you're feeding me breaths. It only makes sense to, with my breaths, praise your name. You're worthy. It creates this idea of blessing in the creature, a willingness unaccompanied by corrosion. No one's got to make us do this. To return blessing for blessing conferred, right? Powerful. So, so good. Jesus, you are worthy to receive this blessing. And when I get my eyes off of me, and when I get my eyes off of the lack and what I wish I had and what I don't have and what she has and what he has and all of this stuff, when I do that and I enter in, I start blessing the one who never changes. Well, now all of a sudden my spirit gets lifted and the blessing gets outdone that I'm seeking to give to him by him to me. Loud voice. Worthy in unison. Myriads upon myriads and ten thousands times ten thousands and thousands of thousands. Whole host of heaven. John says, I beheld it and I heard it. It was every tongue and every tribe and every people that were gathered from all of the earth that were there and before his throne singing this song of redemption. Now it's everybody joined in as one voice. Nobody's making them do it. This is the activity of heaven. It's the occupation of God, our souls with God, his very self as he's before us. It seems as though, especially as we close right now, that this is a fulfillment of Philippians chapter 2 when Jesus said, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Do you not see a picture here? It seems to me as though that's what we've got going on. There's this gathering now that we transition into, this universal adoration of the Lamb. In verse 13 to the close, right to verse 13, there's this universal adoration of the Lamb. The reverberations from heavenly anthem finding an echo in the divinely empowered instinctive response of the vast animal creation. They make it seem to John that the entire universe is praising the Lord, as indeed it is in a figure, but yet a reality of what's before us. He says this, they're all gathered together, and then every creature in the heaven, on the earth, under the earth, and such that are in the sea, and all that are in them. I heard them now. They join in, and they begin. By definite article, which gives separate emphasis to each quality, they start to sing particular praise to God, every one, just like he said would happen. He says that they said, you are worthy to receive the blessing. You are worthy, verse 13, to receive the honor. You are worthy to receive the glory. You are worthy to receive the power. Be unto him, Jesus, that sit upon the throne, and unto the Lamb forever and ever. And everybody falls down and they say, amen. The entirety of intelligent life and God's creation joins us. It's not that this gathering is just representative, it's exhaustive. Not one creature being omitted, praising the Lord. I'm gonna give you guys something. I don't think I'm gonna do it in second, but I'm gonna give it to you guys in first. If you wanna, the study is over, and I'll give you my closing remarks in just a second. But if you want to do something nuts here, you love going deep with God's word, I think this is a pretty cool study. There's considerable evidence that Psalm 146 through Psalm 150 refer to this scene. Psalm 146 to Psalm 150 perhaps refer to this scene. Each of the Psalms begins and ends with the exhortation, praise ye the Lord. This phrase is the Hebrew hallelujah. In the New Testament, the word's only used four times. All in Revelation. Revelation 19, verse 1, verse 3, verse 4, and verse 6. And all in connection with the praises of this same heavenly assemblance. It's wild. The assembly at the throne in heaven is seen again from time to time in Revelation. We're going to see him in chapter 7, verse 11. I don't expect you to write all these things down, but if you'd like to, you can. Verse 16 through 19 of chapter 11. Chapter 14, verse 3. You're going to have to probably pause me later on in recording. Chapter 19, verses 1 through 6. And I've written down a lot of verses today, and I've given you a lot. So if I gave you a wrong verse, forgive me. I didn't mean to. I thought I proofread everything, and I think I did. But if I missed it, just read the verse before, read the verse after, which you should do anyways. But finally, this great congregation of the saints that's just read of here, all will march out of the heavens with the risen Lamb, now becoming the conquering Lion, openly manifest as the eternal Word of God, acknowledged by all as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, reclaiming the earth and the whole creation for its Redeemer. It's going to be spectacular. But until that day, there's this praise by all ascending before him, kissing the Son. Adoring the Son. And I look at the world around me as we close this study this morning. And I'm watching everything going on, and I think to myself, what better to occupy my soul with than this right now? What better to give my life to than this very activity as much as I can right now? Nothing else fills the depths of me. I mean, I see people all around me trying to fill the depths of them. Nothing fills the depths of me. Nothing will fill the depths of you like Jesus can. He put eternity in our hearts. When I'm preaching, when I counsel with two people, three people, one person, I feel this crazy backing of the Holy Spirit that whatever I'm saying biblically is backed by him as absolute truth to the hearer. I know that it is. I have absolute confidence in God's word. It is the living word of God. He magnifies it above his name. He's put eternity within each of us. So the only one that can satisfy that longing, that hole there in our soul that we all know about is him. Not intellect, not knowledge, not smarts, not a drug, not a relationship. There is nothing out there that can fill the hole in my soul like Jesus can. So it only makes sense for me to get busy on what I'm going to do for eternity anyways right now. And to move from just Jesus, I'm in your presence, to his presence really getting in me. I guess the reason that I'm really excited and passionate about these things, and you guys can come, is because I'm just watching a lot of what I thought to be great men of God go down. And I don't know, I don't want to mention names, but I got really jerked yesterday with a conversation that I was having with one of my pastor friends about just the solid evidence that is now available to us who are in ministry full time by one who's very well known. Books of his still might be in our store because I haven't gone through yet. Just a scholar, just a guy, man, where concerning knowing the Bible and other religions, not many more could be revered more than this individual. And I look at these things and I think, I don't look and I say, you know, slander the person. I look and I get jerked like, Lord, I never want to be a part of that number. I don't want to just be a guy whose knowledge and information in your presence at church experiencing Shekinah. I want the Shekinah within me. I want the presence of Jesus within me because that's what's converting. That's what's saving. I mean, that a man or a woman can recite the Bible, connect verses, no prophecy, argue against other religions as to why this is the truth, and not know Jesus at all. Like, why wouldn't we all on this Sunday morning take inventory? And then when I look through these things, these attributes here that are put before us, these characteristics, these praise notes that are given to the Lord, why wouldn't I say, Lord, okay, I'm going to spend a minute with each of these, and Lord, where in my life does this have to become a reality? So it penetrates, so it drips, because I need it to convert. So Lord, we close this service this morning, and we definitely pray, God, that you would put it in our hearts to want to know you in this type of a way. An intimate relationship, Jesus. Not just knowledge about you, but you and us. Abiding, fellowship, relationship, connectivity. God, that's what our hearts should be after. To give you the power and the strength and the praise and the blessing and the glory and the honor and the adoration and all of these other things, Lord. And as we do that, Lord, let us meditate upon what we're doing, not just moving through the motion, but experiencing, Lord, greater conversion. We're so thankful, Jesus, that you've taken this time to meet with us. We want to sing this closing song of praise to your name because you alone are worthy. We ask you, Lord, that it put a smile upon your face in Jesus' name. All God's people said, amen. Let's stand and sing a last song.
That concludes our message for today here on Lost and Found. Join us next time as we continue our verse-by-verse study through God's Word. During this unprecedented time in our nation, we are adhering to the guidelines set up by our government to be able to conduct services while still keeping our fellowship as safe as possible. If you would like to know how to attend a service or any other news here at the church, we would encourage you to go to Instagram, Facebook, and ccwestside.com to find out more about what is going on currently at the church. If you are unable to attend a service, we will be continuing to live stream our services so you can be blessed in the comfort of your own home. If you do not have access to social media, we would encourage you to call the church office and someone will be happy to answer any questions you may have. Our phone number is 585-352-3150. That's 585-352-3150. Thank you for listening to Lost and Found, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Westside. Join us next time as we continue our study through God's Word. In Luke 19:10, it says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." It's our prayer at CC Westside that you have found the only pathway that leads to an abundant life, found only in Jesus Christ.